Good morning.
Good morning.
You all happy to be here?
Amen.
Are you all happy to be here?
Amen.
And I am extremely happy to be here. Thank you. You know, sometimes we come to church and we're not really where we're at. You know, I always tell my students, be where you're at. And, you know, our minds might be somewhere else this morning. Your mind might not be here this morning. Your body's here, but is your mind really here? And I know that's a struggle. And that has nothing to do with my sermon, but I felt like it's important. It's important to be here this morning. It's important to be happy to be here. If you show up and don't have a feeling when you're here, there's an issue. My sermon today is called Thorns of Grace. Johnny read to you 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 10. Do I have a volunteer to read it for me one more time, please? That's 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. Yes, please.
Chapter 12.
Yes, please.
7 through 10. It says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast of my infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproach, in need, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. But when I am weak, then I am strong.'"
Thank you, Nacho. Isabel's been going to the women's Bible studies, and I think I've done about maybe 2 lessons with her on 2 Corinthians. And we've read through the 2 Corinthians together, and something that stuck out to me was this main section. And last night, Levi was over, and I was trying to finish up the sermon, and I really, really wanted to touch on these words that Paul was writing, but it was hard. It was hard to put it into a message to deliver it to you. And I've come to the realization that we live in a time of instant gratification. We want everything now. You know, we want instant access, instant messaging, you know, instant meals. Just take the little cover, poke the holes on, put it in the microwave, right, ready to go. I lived on those in college. You know, and if we're not careful, this on-demand mentality can sometimes go into our prayer life. Can sometimes go into our walk with Christ. See, this last week, I'm still trying to get back into the groove with all the students back. And I was trying to roster my students on Project Lead the Way. And I was getting mad. I was like, oh, this darn thing, it wasn't working. I spent like 2 hours trying to get all my students on there. And I have 168 students. And I had to go and find their state ID numbers, not the regular student ID numbers, their state ID numbers, one by one, and then take it all back, which I was just frustrated. So I was like, you know what, I'm going to call customer service. So I called customer service, they answered within minutes, they fixed my issue. I was like, sweet. And sometimes we think prayer works that way. We think prayer is a customer service call. That we're going to call and everything is going to be done and ready after I hang up. And it doesn't work that way. Sometimes, yeah, we wish it was that simple. And it's not. God has a plan, and throughout that waiting, He knows how that's going to impact us. See, sometimes we're just a little small piece of the big picture. That thorn that sometimes we think we have might be something huge playing in a bigger picture that He has planned. I found this story online that I'd like to share with you. Okay? It says, "A kitten belonging to a pastor climbed a tree but couldn't get down. The pastor decided to throw a rope over the branch that the little fellow was on and tied the rope to the bumper of his car. And driving forward, he'd pull the branch within reach and retrieve the terrified kitten. It was a pretty good plan until the rope broke. And the poor little cat went flying over the fence and out of sight. And the pastor had looked everywhere for his little kitten. It was nowhere to be found. The next day, he's talking to his neighbor on the other side. And the neighbor comes up, "You're never going to believe what happened yesterday." He's like, "My little girl has been begging for a kitten for months. But I told her that the only way she could have one is if the Lord gave it to her." So she went outside, she knelt down, she prayed, "Dear Lord, please give me a kitty of my very own. In Jesus' name, amen." And the mom's like, "And just then a kitten with paws outstretched fell out right out of the sky." And sometimes we wish that our prayers were like that. Like the little girls, we go out, we pray, and we pray that our answer's there. As soon as we're done, we get up. I struggle with that. You know? Sometimes it takes weeks, months, years. And sometimes it's just no. And that's a hard thing to accept. You know, I'm struggling with my whole career, and I wake up in the mornings and I feel lost. It's like, where does God want me? You know? And I start to question the effectiveness of the prayer. And I think sometimes we all do that. It's like, does this really work? And then we question ourselves. Maybe I don't have enough faith. Maybe there's some sin in my life that is preventing the Lord from answering my prayer. We try to justify it all the time. And sometimes, some of us even question God. Where it's like, does He really care about what I'm going through? See, we're very impatient people. We have been conditioned for quick results. And it doesn't work that way. You know? We can't work out for 2 days and have a six-pack. I wish we could. But it doesn't work. And even those that have the greatest relationship with God struggle with God's timing. See, let's consider the text that we were just reading, okay? See, Paul was a spiritual giant. He had seen countless souls saved. He shared his story before kings. He had seen things no other human had been privileged to see. If anybody might have a reason to expect instant results, it should have been Paul. He had seen God's power displayed many, many times. But even he was tested by God's delay. What we have this morning is Paul's personal account of an occasion when God told him no. And sometimes hearing no hurts. You've poured out your soul before the Lord and wonder why nothing happens. See, there's three things that we can take out of this text that Johnny read for us this morning. The very first thing is in verse 7 where it says, we discover Paul's pain. See, the text says that Paul had seen and experienced so much in his time as a Christian that he was in danger of becoming conceited, arrogant. Maybe Paul was in danger of being put on a pedestal by others. See, after all, we are prone to hero worship. Oh man, that guy can run so fast, I want to be just like him. And we think of these people as heroes, and we look up to them for everything. See, but whether he was in danger of becoming exalted on his own mind, or in minds of others, God allowed Paul to suffer a little bit in order to keep him humble. See, there's going to be times in our life when God must do the same for us. Pride's a problem. There's going to be times in our lives when God must lead us through difficult experiences in order to bring us back to earth, back to reality. To keep us from thinking too highly of ourselves. Paul uses two words that really stuck out to me. One of them was the word thorn, and the other one was harass. See, the word thorn in the original Greek is not a thorn like we might see on a rose. Okay? It literally means a pointed stake, something huge, It's not a passing pain, but a prolonged pain. The word harass means to hit with a fist. See, Paul almost felt like he was being beat up through the pain that he was going through the suffering. And in times like this, this is when Satan comes in. And he takes this pain that we're feeling and he makes it greater pain. Satan starts getting these ideas into our mind. If God really loved me, then why is he allowing me to suffer right now? If God really cares, then why hasn't he answered the prayer that I've prayed to him a few times? And those are all Satan's schemes being used on us. See, Paul was hurt. He was humiliated. Satan was shooting arrows of doubt at him. That's how Satan works. Satan's in the business of character assassination. So, if he cannot change God's mind about you, he tries to change your mind about God. He tries to make you think of these negative thoughts that go through our head. See, Paul's pain, the agony of this thorn, the reality was that something had happened to him because God allowed it. See, and even though he prayed three times, God refused to answer. And it was painful. And I'm here to tell you that it's probably going to happen to you too. God will probably tell you no. Whenever we struggle, we find ourselves with the question, why? But the why will change over time. Instead, why am I suffering? It will become, why doesn't God do something about my suffering? And that's a negative way to think about it. And I feel like that was Paul's pain. He couldn't truly understand what was happening. The second thing that we have to notice is verse 8. It says, three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. See, there are false teachers out there. People that will tell you, if you have enough faith, you can have whatever you want. Name it and claim it. They will tell you all suffering is bad and the prosperity of God's ways of rewarding those of great faith. So if you have great faith, you're going to have this amazing life. Sounds good. After all, who doesn't want a life of endless blessings? It sounds so spiritual to say, believe and you will receive. And sometimes we think, that's the case every single time. Oh, I believe, so I'm going to get. But if we're not careful, our faith will be obliterated when hard times come. And they will come. There are lessons that we can learn through our suffering that can't be learned any other way. See, our faith will not keep us from suffering, but our faith will get you through the suffering. See, there are two great men in the Bible who prayed three times about a particular issue. And in each case, God answered with a definite no. One case was Paul, a man of great faith, probably the greatest Christian ever lived. And the other was the Son of God, his own son. Mark 14, verses 32 through 43 says, Jesus prayed three times in the garden with such passion that he, the author and finisher of our faith, sweat great drops of blood, begging God that he might not have to drink the cup of his wrath at the cross. And God said, no. See, the devil wants you to believe if you have the right kind of faith, you won't ever experience suffering. And that's not true. He wants to convince you that if you believe God is real, that you believe that God is with us, we're never going to have financial struggles. We're never going to go through trials. But it's a lie. If the two greatest examples of faith suffered rejection, we will too. If his own son suffered rejection, I can bet that we are going to suffer it too. And that's not something to feel sad about, because through these times is when we grow the most. See, the third thing is that we see Paul's provision. Though God said no, he promised to provide exactly what Paul needed. Verse 9 says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" See, God was teaching Paul an important lesson. A lesson that we all must learn. A lesson that I struggle and I'm working to learn. Like I said earlier, we might just be a small part of his great picture. When we are at our weakest is when we are at our strongest, because we allow God into our lives the most. Do you believe that that's true? I sure do. Because I've realized that when I am at my weakest points is when I find myself getting closer to God, and that is not where I should be all the single time. I should not wait till I'm at my weakest points to get closer to Him. And neither should you. And it's a tough thing to realize. But at that point is when we are stronger in our faith more than ever, and we can get closer to God. It's something that is really hard to understand, because yes, our God is a loving God, and He's an almighty God, but He knows exactly what He has in store for us. See, it's a principle that runs throughout the Bible. God and His sovereignty. It must bring us to trusting ourselves in order that He might do something great in our lives. He works in us and through us in many different ways, but sometimes we don't see those different ways. The pain that we suffer, the thorn on our side, might be the thing that He wants us to go through in order to realize something big. See, Paul learned a very valuable lesson through this thorn. He learned that the importance of trust. He learned that the more he surrendered to God, the more of God's power he would enjoy. He learned that trusting in self leads to heartache and weakness, but trusting in God brings strength. Have we learned that lesson? Have we learned that lesson that if we trust in what we want, we will struggle? But if we trust in what God wants for us, we are made strong? See, maybe you've been going through a tough time. Or maybe you go through life without a care. No fears, no worries. And you felt super strong. And then something bad happens. We lose our job. We lose a loved one. Now we feel hopeless. We feel powerless. Because that entire time, we've been putting our trust on the materialistic things. We've been putting our trust on ourselves. On our job. But in reality, who are we supposed to put our trust in? In God. I struggle with that a lot, guys. I keep telling myself, I'm waiting for this perfect job so I can have this awesome life or something, so I can be able to go ahead and start a family with my wife, because what if I lose my job? What if we don't make enough money? And I'm messing up. Because my trust is in my job. My trust is in what I can do. It's not in God. We become trapped. We become trapped in things of this world. And today I ask that you get out of this trap with me. That you let it go and let it be behind us. Come to this beautiful place, this awesome building that God has provided, as we come all together and accept God's love. Accept that He's there for us. When there's no other way to overcome a certain issue, put your trust in God. His grace will be sufficient for you, as it was for Paul. I'm famous for the short sermons, and that was mine today. And I hope that you can really think about it, okay? Because I can stand up here and talk to you for hours and hours and hours, but you might not even listen to me. Or I can stand up here and talk to you for the 6 minutes and 23 seconds that I did. Just kidding, I don't know if that's the time. And you might get something out of it, okay? Because this is the topic that I struggle with the most. And I don't think I'm alone in this church. Okay? Let's turn to God. Let's trust in Him. Because His grace is truly sufficient for us. Grace to you and peace be multiplied.